Good afternoon. Can you please tell me your name and your organization and where you come from?
I'm Fatima Shabuddin. I'm from an organization called Women on Farms in South Africa.
And what does your organization do with a name like Women on Farms?
My organization works with women who live and work on the big commercial plantations in South Africa, primarily the region that produces wines and deciduous fruits for exports to Europe and other northern countries. And our focus is on empowering women, making sure that they understand their rights and how to access it, and generally fighting for a transformation of the South African countryside.
Mm-hmm. Are these women who have lost their land or from rural areas, and how have they come to be working on big plantations?
The plantation system in South Africa traces its roots back to the slave plantation systems under colonialism. So basically what you have is the million or so workers who work on those plantations today. The majority of them are the descendants of the slaves who were brought to the Cape under Dutch rule in the 1500s. And what we've seen is, despite the transformation in South Africa, having one of the most radical constitutions in the world, a very strong legislative protective framework, the men and women who work on this farm still struggle to access their rights. And it has to do with a combination of factors, but primarily it's because of the institution of private property, that you've got public space and you've got private space, and that government really struggles to enforce laws in those private spaces. And alongside that, it's also a community who is, I mean, if you go to a farm, you can see people still carry themselves with a deference of slaves. So the power relationship is very unequal, and farmers can and do get away with almost anything. And the challenge for us is to, number one, ensure that workers and women in particular understand their rights, but also that they develop the confidence and the assertiveness to access those rights, to demand that it be real in their lives and not just, you know, paper rights.
Mm-hmm. How has the conditions, wages, conditions, work, the dignity of the workers, has it changed since the, you know, since the government has changed and we have the ANC taking power in South Africa?
It's changed, and I don't know, it's changed in many directions, some positive, some negative. The first very obvious positive change is that before our new democratic government came to power in 1994, there were no rules governing the lives, the working and living conditions on farms. So in acknowledgement of the fact that this is one of the most marginalized groups of people in South Africa, a range of laws were introduced. So that for us is obviously very positive. But at the same time, agriculture historically was a very protected industry under apartheid regime. Lots of protective measures, lots of tariffs and subsidies. And what has happened is our new government has embraced a thoroughly a neoliberal framework and have signed on to all the international agreements on trade and so on. So very specifically, we signed on to the agreement on agriculture, which required and necessitated really the liberalization of the sector. So with that went all the protective measures, and it meant that for the first time, really, so commercial agriculture in South Africa was exposed to global competition, and a number of other things happened at the same time. The strengthening of the currency, you know, recurring droughts and so on, which meant that in farmers' efforts to keep profit margins up, they've had to look at how they reduce input costs. And in the face of other seemingly inflexible input costs, labor is an obvious, you know, place to cut. And the main strategy that we've seen in the last 10 years is a significant casualization of the agricultural labor force, meaning that livelihoods are quite tenuous and insecure. And alongside that, a dramatic feminization of that labor force. So at this point, we've got more women working in commercial agriculture than at any other point in history, but quite tenuous circumstances. Mm-hmm. It's not secure jobs, and we of course know that in addition to the work on the land, women have the domestic responsibilities as well. So it has very particular implications mm-hmm. for women, mm-hmm. This dramatic change. So my summary, I think, of what's happened in South Africa is you've had the impact of globalization and trade liberalization alongside, you know, a new government attempting to make things right for its citizens. And in the end, governments don't stand a chance. We mm-hmm. see it very clearly. Mm-hmm. The laws are laying there. Now, we do believe that our government should be doing more. We've got laws. Very little is being done to enforce it. In the entire time, we haven't seen once a farmer go to prison for breaking a law. And we want to start seeing those things happen, because then farmers would be more cautious mm-hmm. about respecting laws. But there's been a tremendous backlash, because also systems of slavery is premised on paternalism. If you speak to farmers, they refer to their workers as our children, and this is a big family and we are happy here. And if suddenly your children start asserting their rights and calling the police on you or the Department of Labor, there's a tremendous sense of betrayal mm-hmm. that farmers feel. And so there's been a dramatic backlash to workers who are now starting to join trade unions, which was illegal in the past. Joining trade unions, challenging exploitative practices, and mm-hmm. on the balance, you know, things are still unbalanced mm-hmm. and farm workers come up with a short end uh-huh, of the stick. Uh-huh.
What percentage of the workers on these plantations would you say have become unionized?
It's still the lowest unionized sector in the country, and less than 3% of the workers are unionized. Mm. Now, this is a number of obstacles to workers becoming unionized. And the most important one is the intimidation factor, that people's entire livelihoods are, you know, dependent on a farmer giving them a job, giving them a house. And so there's a lot of at stake when you go up against a farmer. So that's been part of it. The other challenge, and a challenge which my organization is grappling with, is what models of trade unionism is relevant to mm-hmm. the sector, because there's been unions before, and there's an insistence on following a urban commercial model of trade unionism, which doesn't have relevance, which doesn't work in a rural setting, doesn't take account of the gender dynamic, doesn't take account of the fact that the livelihood challenges of farm workers are multiple. You can't focus only on labor. You know, if HIV/AIDS is a real challenge, then you have to deal with it too. If gender-based violence is a pandemic, then it needs to be part of your union agenda. So we really need the situation calls for a real dynamic social movement mm-hmm. model of trade unionism mm-hmm. which focuses on direct action, you know, try to assert your rights within the framework of the law, but also strive to change that framework, because our dream is not for farm workers and women to only have their rights respected within law. Our dream is also for another countryside in which those farm workers become farm owners. Why mm-hmm. not? And mm-hmm. we don't want to emulate these massive commercial models of agriculture. We want to look at things that work, that make a difference in food security, and more than anything, in the dignity mm-hmm. of